This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Hey, I want to go back to that post hole digger for a minute. Just say, I don't think we're done yet with that analogy. So I just want to encourage you today. You know, I rode one of those post hole diggers as a kid. I know they're hard work. And sometimes we can make relationship with God hard like that. I just want you to know, I mean, it's like I can hear the question, could it really be that easy? And I just want you to know the answer is yes. It really is that easy. He did the hard work for you, right? By hanging on a cross. That's the hard work. And today, all you have to do is receive it. And it's the Father's good pleasure. You know, you're never going to find water that way. You can dig all your life and that water is not going to satisfy you, but this water will. Are you hearing me today? Just want to make sure we get that, because that's for somebody today. I know it. Welcome to Restoration. I echo Zach. We're glad that you're here. Love to meet you today. Give you a handshake. Maybe a hug if you're daring, okay? I've been known to do that, so that scares you. Just go like this. I'm good. I got you, all right? But I still got a gift for you anyway. Come over and see us. Why don't you turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 13? I always want you to do that. You know, if you didn't bring a Bible, it's okay. If you don't own one, Info Desk has plenty. Love to stock you up because you need a copy of the Word. Today, of course, it's super easy with your super smartphone, you know, but I just want you to have your nose in the book. Not just today, but every day of the week, because that's where life comes from. And Exodus 13 is where we're happening to go to today. While you're going there, let me just give you a few things that are happening. And I say this not out of duty, but because I think these things are important. This Thursday night, guys, we've got a great opportunity. Whenever something comes my way that I think will be good for my men, I always want to share it. And this Thursday night, the guys are getting together for time with Navy SEAL Jeff Branstead. Never heard him speak, but I've done some recon on Jeff, and he's the real deal. And we're live streaming a session from Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there'll be churches around the nation that are joining in just to encourage, challenge, and sharpen our men. Guys, I hope you're in. This Thursday night, 6:30 p.m., might want to bring a snack and something to drink, and we'll just kind of hang out upstairs, all right? Love to have you do that. Wednesday night, we're starting our new 2018 small group semester. We call it Midweek Connection, and it happens Wednesday night at 7. And Randy's going to be teaching a series on the armor of God. Need to know how to fight. Need to know how to protect yourself, but also, more than that, God's weapons, not to steal Randy's thunder, but God's weapons aren't just defensive, they're offensive weapons. You're meant to move forward. And that's what our goal, our heart is for this year. So Randy will be leading that. It's a great way to get not only some good Bible instruction, but also meet some folk that we don't get a chance to really on Sunday morning. So love to have you come out and join us with that. One month from yesterday, we'll be hosting the entire city of St. Joseph in this building for an event we're called the Big Muddy Mini Makers Fair. It's a big mouthful. But what it is the first time St. Joseph's ever hosted an event like this. It's part science fair, part arts and crafts, lots of technology, robots. You can make a smoothie in a human hamster wheel. Okay, I'm just telling you. It's that kind of fun stuff. And families will be coming in. We want to host them well. So if you could help us serve, make that event just a home run for our city, we'll be sending you an invite this week via the bridge. If you're not on the bridge, get there quick, because we want everybody to be able to have a hand in helping set up, host, and then, you know, wrap up and get ready for church. That's March 3rd is that date. And then just want a quick reminder that election day is Tuesday, and it's super important for Christians to get out and vote. It just is. You need to pray, you need to do your homework, and vote the people that will represent you well, because I want our city to be blessed, don't you? Amen. So no excuses for sitting home on Tuesday, all right? Thanks for coming out through the snow today, by the way. Heard it's a little dusty out there. Good deal. It's cold and snowy, and you're in church. Yeah. Booyah! That's where you belong, all right? So we've been talking over the past few weeks about this Cloudburst series, and it's been fun to just do some research and to visit the places in the Scriptures where God just kind of shows up like that as a cloud. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it's just a way he chose to manifest to his people. And there's some great lessons we can pull from that. The first story we looked at was the story of Elijah. And he's on the top of the mountain and he's praying. It hadn't rained for 3 years. And he's just praying, asking God to release the rain. And sure enough, this cloud the size of a man's hand shows up. And that's all the sign he needed. And today, what I believe we see happening in our church is, might seem small to others, but to me, it's encouragement. We're hearing testimonies of people being touched, even through the week. Stories pouring in. I absolutely love it. I'll share some of those with you here in a second. The second story was about the cloud that descended on the mountain of transfiguration when Jesus' face and his clothes began to just kind of go high beam headlights, and then Moses and Elijah showed up, and it was a great opportunity, a visitation, something pretty cool. But the lesson for the disciples was, don't forget about two types of people. Remember who they were? Don't forget about the brothers. Good job. And don't forget about the others. There you go, the brothers and the others. Meaning, it's cool, it's awesome, it's fun when God is moving and we see things happen and we're like, man, that is so incredible. But we've got to remember, it's not just so that we get blessed. There's a bigger group that we're concerned with. It's people who are a part of this body and in the game with us. Every person who names the name of Jesus is on the same team, okay? So we don't believe in labels and that kind of stuff. We just say, we're in this together. But there's also people that need to know that God is real. We don't forget about those folks. And it's been great to watch God just answering our heart's desire and our prayers. Last Sunday night, we have a couple times a month we get together for worship and prayer just to hang out in the presence of God. And it sounds like it would be boring, right? But it's anything but that. And we have a great time. And last Sunday night was like what I've been praying for a long time. Not only was there a good number of people, but I had to literally fight for the microphone. I mean, you know, Kip and I were doing WWF up there, kind of, boom, boom. You know, it's like, I was mixing it up, and it was awesome, and I loved it. I love it when people are eager and hungry and just determined to press in prayer. That's what we did last Sunday night, and it was so much fun. And one of the results of that was a guy who was there in the service Sunday morning. If you remember, we were prayed for each other for physical healing in our bodies, and he was having some real issues with his neck. In fact, David, can I put you on the spot? Would you mind? Would you have David come on up? And guys, would you give him a hand this morning? I'm not going to tell your story. You can tell your story. It's like you can't tell somebody's story when they're sitting in the room. One time I was teaching about a book. I was at a national conference teaching out of a book, and the author's in the room. I'm like, what am I doing? It's like, just give the guy a microphone. Let him tell what's going on. This is David, everybody.
Hello.
David was here Sunday morning, last week and Sunday night. Would you tell him what happened?
Well, I was sitting right over there, and I got prayed for. And
what had been going on?
I have issues with my neck and my back from the military, and for a long time, chiropractors, acupuncture, all kinds of stuff. But I was sitting over there, and I got prayed for, and I felt like 12 hands were on me at one time. And then I left, and nothing happened when I left. But then I decided to come back Sunday night and get pray and worship, you know, and step into the church, and still standing over there, the same spot. And I basically just prayed out loud. It's like, God, heal my back and my neck.
That's awesome.
And within a second, both of them, my neck and my back popped at the same time. Yes. And it was just a sudden relief of pain that just went away. And today, well, tonight at 6:30, it'll be a week, 1 week with no pain. Yeah.
That's so good. Thank you, David. Appreciate David. Two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, and I'm glad God touched him in that way. I just want to maybe stop right here, and you know, that's the testimony of Jesus right there. That is proof that Jesus is who he says he is and that he is alive and risen from the dead. And today, that same Jesus can heal you, can touch you. If you have a need in your body, would you just lift your hand? I And we're just going to pray for you right now, okay? All right? See who's got hands up around you? Let's just pray, church. Father, I thank you that the same Jesus who took stripes on his back, whose body was broken and bruised and beaten for us, that same Jesus is the author of healing today and paid the price. Thank you for this story, God. Thank you for David. We pray blessing on him and that this healing will continue, Lord, and he will be a testimony to many. But for everyone whose hand is raised now, God, I pray for more. More, Lord. More, God. We don't need anybody to lay hands on us. All you need is Jesus to touch you, and he's willing right now to do that. Father, I'm praying for testimonies even now of your move among us, God, because you're so good. Thank you, Lord, for that witness, even in our physical bodies, that you are able. You are able. I just feel like somebody's got a renal issue, like in their kidneys, and God is healing that kidney disease right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, every need, you know what it is. It might seem small to us, but it's not small to you. It might seem too big to us, but it's not too big for you. Our confession is you are a healing God. And we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The word says, by his wounds we were, past tense, healed. So it's appropriating that victory that he won on the cross. And I'll always stand on that mountain right there. I'll fight for that one. In addition to what happened last Sunday night, throughout the week this week, we've just been seeing things. You know, it's when God begins to move, that's one way, you know, signs, wonders, miracles. But you also begin to see supernatural favor. And a couple of things happened this week that just caught my attention. One was in the news. I don't know if you caught it, but our mayor was invited to go to the White House. And I thought, wow, that just struck me. You know, I was at the White House last November, didn't get invited in. There are people with guns keeping me out, in fact, to the White House. But our mayor got invited in for a meeting with the president, with a group of mayors, right? So I was thinking, that's really awesome. I began to get curious. So I said, I wonder how many mayors were at this meeting. So I you know, did my nerdy thing, my research thing, and I found that there are 19,462 mayors in the United States, okay? So then I thought, I wonder what the biggest room in the White House would be, how much they could hold. And I'm estimating, I mean, I don't know, but maybe 300, you know? So I thought maybe there was 300 mayors out of 19,462, I don't know. So I got a hold of the mayor's secretary and said, hey, tell me, how many mayors were at the meeting? How many got invited to this meeting in the White House? She said, 60. I said, whoa, that's really good. And she said, and only two from Missouri. So our mayor and one other one from Missouri, along with 58 other mayors, the attention of the president and heads of departments, including the EPA, who our mayor got to talk to and tell them about our ridiculous sewer situation, causing our sewer rates to be astronomical. And I believe something's going to come from that because of favor, because of favor. Now, listen, I want to tie a thread in and say, I remember something our mayor did 3 weeks ago for the rabbi representing Israel, and we honored that man with a key to the city. Our mayor did. I'm just saying he blesses those who bless Israel. He does. He just does. That's my stump speech. I'm sticking to it, but I just thought that is a sign of favor. Another thing that happened, I got a call from someone in our church later in the week and said, the company that I work for makes countertops and booths and equipment for businesses, like nationally known businesses. Like they equip the Starbucks and they equip other, you know, restaurant chains with their stuff. And we have some things that we wondered if you wanted them. And I took a look and I said, heck yeah, we want them. So we were given $50,000 worth of booths for our coffee shop and for our big room next door. That's a big thank you, God, right there. One step closer and an incredible sign of the favor of God. That's what happens when you're rightly aligned, right? When you say, I'm standing under the spigot and turn it open, wide open, heaven, right? That's it. Come on. I just think that's so encouraging. And so today I want to talk about another time we saw the cloud provide like that. The cloud continued to pour out blessing, and how we respond to that is super important. In fact, I heard a message from Bill Johnson last night, and I just had to stick it in my notes. I'm like, dang, he says this so much better than me. So Pastor Bill says this. He says, it's rare to see this pattern in the church. Persecution, increase, blessing, greater increase. Think about that. Persecution, increase, blessing, then greater increase. He said, the only time I've really ever seen that pattern is in the early church. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But it's because it's rare, because oftentimes when blessing comes, complacency comes with it. Because we get the feeling like, oh, you know, I'm good. God blessed me. I'm okay, you know. We don't pursue with the intensity that we do when we're being persecuted. Are you hearing me? We back off. We say, it's okay. Here's what Pastor Bill said. Many people wouldn't have a prayer life if they didn't have any problems. Are you hearing that today? The motivation to pray is the devil's work. The devil's attack. Conflict. Personal pain becomes the single motivator for a prayer life. See, okay, I'm gonna get 100 on you today. You're the second service. You let me do that, right? You can take it. You can take it today. 9/11 happened. There were 6,500 people packed into Missouri Western's gym to pray that night. Hasn't happened since. Why does it take a crisis to cause us to pray? See, listen to what Pastor Bill says. Oh, this is so good. We choose our motivation for prayer. We give place to the kind of circumstances that prompt us and motivate us to seek the Lord. In other words, we're letting the devil set the agenda. When we only pray when we see the devil at work, when bad things happen, guess what? We're setting his agenda. But if we back off praying when things are good, we're just kind of showing what motivates us to pray. I want to be just as motivated to pray when I see good things going on and say, more, Lord, more, come on, bring it, Jesus, because that's his desire. But we back off. Complacency typically follows that greater blessing. He says this, and I think this is key for us as a church. What you do in your moment of blessing determines the significance of your next season. What you do in your moment of blessing. How many of you would say, based on the testimony we just shared, we've been blessed. We're seeing blessing. What we do next determines the significance of our next season. Do we back off? Do we grow complacent? Or do we press in? He says, the Lord is constantly testing us to see what level of glory we can live under. That's really good. He's looking for the stability of heart, the maturity that comes from surrender and yielding, allowing the Spirit of God to work within us to make us into the image of the Son of God. We are experiencing blessing, church, and I don't apologize for that. And we need to continue to testify, because that builds other people's faith. And they say, if they can do it for David, he can do it for me. And we're not boasting, look, we got $50,000 worth of booze. We're not doing that. We're boasting in Jesus, saying, you know what? His hand is on this work. Thanks be to God. It's his work, not ours. We just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we receive it, and we won't waste it on us. We remember the brothers and the others, right? That opens up. That keeps that flow open. And that's where I want to go today. Remember the children of Israel trapped in slavery in Egypt, right? And they got delivered from the promised land. They got set free from slavery. Pretty big blessing, would you agree? 400 years of slavery. See, we don't have any context of what that would be like. But let's just agree it would be hard. Can we agree with that? It'd be kind of hard to be a slave for 400 years. Generations, that's all they've known. And God delivers them miraculously, supernaturally. All right? And let's see how they respond to that. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17 is where I'm starting. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, If the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Are you hearing that today, church? They could have taken the short route, but they had to take the long route because God knew they weren't ready. Because a little bit of resistance, and they would have turned tail and ran back to slavery. Are you hearing me today? Why do we choose slavery? Why do we choose to go back under bondage for fear? Right? That's what we're talking about here. Wow. So God led them to in a roundabout way. Say roundabout way. Roundabout. Don't you hate roundabouts? I hate roundabouts. I hate them. And yet that is the pattern of life, right? Has it ever been a straight line for you? Point A, point B, boop, you just get there, right? No, it's like beep, boop, 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 boop. The problem with roundabouts, young lady, and I know they're cool, but you don't know what the other guy's going to do, right? It's like, you don't know what the other guy's going to do. Scary. Okay. So, God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Uh-oh, everybody say, uh-oh, Red Sea, uh-oh. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Come on, put a little sticky right there. That is God's intent, to make his people like an army ready for battle, not unprepared and will freak out when resistance comes. So, verse 19, this is so good, you guys. Oh my gosh. When I hit on this, it wasn't even in my notes. I'm like, took my breath away. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Oh my. Somebody say, took the bones of Joseph. What city do we live in? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. Uh-huh. And when he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. Okay, I'm going to preach now. All right, so people look at our city and they see nothing but dry bones, right? I'm telling you, I almost said a bad word, sick of people complaining on Facebook. I know that. That's just my laugh line there. Thanks. I think elections bring out the worst in people. Don't you agree? They just do. People being ugly. Here, I'll tell you what. I love my city. I love my city. You better love your city too, because guess what? God won't give you your city if you don't love your city. And what comes out of your mouth determines whether or not you love your city. The bones of Joseph. Okay, I can't camper too long. I just said, Jesus, we realize that we stand on the shoulders of men and women who've gone before us. It's not because we're all that and a bag of chips, okay? It's not that. It's that God is desperate to reach people. And if we're willing to join the long line of witnesses who now are in heaven cheering us on, we can't say, we're so good, you know, we don't need that stuff of yesterday, we're moving on. You know, it's like, you know what? You are too full of you is what the problem is. Maybe our city is full of dry bones, but I'm telling you what, these bones will live. Prophesy to the bones, son of man. Say, these bones will live. These bones will rise up as a great and mighty army when the church does its job. So we're taking the bones of Joseph with us. Come on, what do you say? Come on. Man, there's more there. I just got to unpack that some more. Let's start. Okay, verse 20. The Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. Okay, listen closely. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Pretty amazing. Supernatural. This really happened. Okay? This is not a fairy tale or a Steven Spielberg movie. This really happened. God delivered his people, and he did it supernaturally, right? I mean, even the deliverance from Egypt was supernatural. Remember the plagues? If you've seen the movie, Charlton Heston, right? I interviewed Charlton Heston one time. Just saying. Okay? Frogs, lice, boils, hailstones, Nile turns to blood. What else do we need, right? Supernatural death of the firstborn children. I mean, supernatural stuff. And this same supernatural God not only delivers them from slavery, but now is providing them with supernatural pillar of cloud and fire to guide them day and night. Pretty awesome stuff. It's real. It's written in the book. What's interesting, though, is the journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. 40 years. I want to talk about three things that I believe demonstrate God's goodness to his people, even when it takes us 40 years and we're not really listening to what he's trying to say. People that were not ready for battle, okay? First of all, he provided protection. Say protection. You need to write this down. Protection. Exodus 14:15 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," now they're up against the Red Sea, right? That's why we said, uh-oh, Red Sea, we know what's coming. "The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." You know, it's interesting. A few months back, I was really praying about what we were going to do here with this, because we seemed like we were stuck, you know? We're in this little room, and we like it, but we want to be there, and how's this going to work? And I felt like the Lord just said, you know what? It's not up to you. It's up to the people. The Lord said, tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Oh, yeah, like that happens all the time. Sure, no problem. Yeah, we're just going to split the sea. Perfect. I mean, come on. We are so numb to this because we've heard it so many times. We've watched the movie too often. Can you imagine God saying something that impossible to Moses? This is how we're going to do this. He's like, okay, sure. "And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My glory will be displayed." See, this is the point. "My glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. And when my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." Come on. Even the enemy is going to recognize the glory of the Lord when he moves on your behalf. Do you see the point? For the others, are you connecting the dots here with me? Your victory is not just for you, it's for the others. I want you to get victory, but God says, I want my glory to be displayed. That's why David's testimony is so critical. People are going to believe because of hearing that story right there. Even people who didn't really like God. But they might give him consideration if he does something amazing like that. "Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord, sure enough, opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side." Someone say, my God, is there anything too difficult for you? Come on. This isn't just story time. This is proof that nothing is too big for God. Come on. If we'd been alive to see that, maybe we wouldn't have to have it knocked into our skull, because we just get dull to the fact that we serve a miracle-working God. It's incredible. "And this cloud continued to not only provide protection, it also served for them as direction." Say direction. It's the second thing that God gave them, is direction with the cloud. Numbers 9:15, a little further down the story. "On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it." The tabernacle was the place that they had built for the presence of God. "But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire," of course, because we read that. This was the regular pattern. "At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. Wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command, wherever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duty to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days. So the people would stay only for a few days as the Lord commanded. Then at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move on. Sometimes the cloud would stay only overnight and lifted the next morning. But day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. The point here is, you move with the cloud. When the cloud moves, you move. When the cloud stays, you stay. It's direction. Aren't you glad that God provides direction? That's his promise. He says, I will not only protect you, but I'll direct you if you'll obey my commands. That was what they were doing, right? Obeying the Lord's command at the cloud's movement. He protected, he directed. The third thing is he provided. Say provision. The third aspect of the cloud. For the journey across the desert, they've got their shelter, right, from the heat of the day with the cloud by day. At nighttime, they had the pillar of fire, not only to keep the enemies at bay, but to keep them warm, because desert nights gets kind of cold. So he's done all that. But there was another way the Lord provided for them on their journey, Exodus 16. And this is just crazy to me. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Okay. I'm thinking Doritos. That's kind of what I would like. Yes, Lord, bring the Doritos. As each day, the people can go out and pick up as much Doritos as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow. Oh, I will test them in this. Interesting. To see whether or not they will follow my instructions. Okay, sticky note, underline. Test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Yes, double Doritos. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your, complaints. Interesting. Which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Moses spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness, and there they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. This is crazy. God says, okay, you're not getting this. I just delivered you from 400 years of slavery, and you think I brought you out in the wilderness to die? They're complaining. And so God once more miraculously provides for them protection, direction, provision. That's the point of the cloud. To me, if you had to boil it down, I say the cloud represents presence. Because wherever the presence of God is, there is protection, there is direction, and there is provision. That's why you want to live life in the cloud. You do. Interesting that we use that term in technological ways, right? Everything goes to the cloud. I just want to say for the believer, your life comes from the cloud. The cloud of his presence. That's where life comes from. And we can count on that same protection, direction, and provision today. It says in Hebrews 13, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I think we should say that with confidence like we're supposed to here. Read it together. The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Come on, that would be a good thing to put on your mirror and repeat every day. The Lord is your helper. He is near to you. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will guide you because he is near to me. I can say that with confidence and have no fear. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the guy in the cloud, right? Today and forever. That's where our confidence comes from. And I could ask you the question and you would all say, yes. Do you believe this? Yes. But we don't really act like that, do we? We act like Israel acted. And we complain and we fear. They had a literal cloud, pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. You could see it. They still complained. It's like, Lord, deliver us. They even built a golden calf to worship in the presence of the same cloud. They got tired. They wanted something they could see, feel, and touch. Okay, just saying. You might not physically bow down, get down and do this to your golden idol, but I'm telling you, whatever we give attention to, whatever gets our devotion, is an idol. And sometimes the idol is me. Sometimes it's us. Because when our thoughts determine what we do, instead of the Lord's command, we've become an idol. We've become the lawmaker in our lives. And it says, Numbers 32, the Lord was angry with Israel. And he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen to this. Until the entire generation that sinned in the Lord's sight had died. 2.4 million people, we estimate, were released from slavery during that Exodus. Only two made it into the promised land. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. Why did these two men make it and the other 2.3 whatever million didn't? What was the difference? Because the Bible calls them men of a different spirit. Men of a different spirit. Joshua, the heir to Moses' leadership, challenged the people with this in Joshua 24. I can just picture it. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Boom. That's it. Fear the Lord, serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, hey, it's a free country. Choose today who you will serve. Because you're going to have to serve somebody, right? Bob Dylan said, was better the first service. You're going to have to serve somebody. That's better. I'm getting better. Would you prefer the gods? One more time. No. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Go ahead, go for it. Or perhaps it'll be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. Now he's kind of poking him in the chest, right? Choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my family, here's what we're going to do. He got all Navy SEAL on him, right? He's like, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. That's why he's a man of a different spirit. That's why he's a promised land man. And today God's looking for a promised land men and women of a different spirit. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not good for me to see things. And I just say, I don't want to model Restoration Church after any other church in America. Because God's called us to be men and women of a different spirit. Not that we're better than anybody else, but we've got to be true to our calling. We've got to be that. It's like that monkey that was making fun of the word reckless love. Are you kidding me? I want to smack him. It's like, he's reckless. Get over it. He's not going to be put in a box. C.S. Lewis says he's not a tame lion, but he's good. He's not a tame lion. He's not going to perform your circus tricks like the dogs across the parking lot, right? Go ahead. Here's your treat. That's what offering time becomes sometimes. Here's your treat. Oh, you didn't jump high enough. Are you hearing me today? Dang. First service didn't get that. You got that one. That's like, whoop. You can handle it. You wore your asbestos underwear today. I know you did. 4 years of wandering in the wilderness for us as a church, right? It's like the pattern Bill described. Persecution, right? Blessing, increase, greater blessing or increase. Those of you who have not traveled with us since the beginning, just take my word for it. Persecution, we ticked that box. We did. We checked the box. It was hard. But look where God has brought us to. And he has blessed us. And we have seen increase. Did I not just talk about it a little bit ago? Hello, $50,000 worth of booths and cabinets for our coffee shop. That would be called increase. Hallelujah. We didn't pay for it. We didn't ask for it. God brought it to us. Provision. When we moved into this place, no bathrooms, no heating or cooling, and now we have all three. You can do your business in comfort now. Praise the Lord, right? It's like provision. Hallelujah. He has directed us, he's protected us, and he's provided for us. And we're seeing amazing things. David, what happened to you? I count no less miraculous than if I had seen a pillar of cloud last Sunday night. It's like the fact that he did that for you because you're his son. Man, that's the testimony of Jesus. We're seeing God begin to manifest that, and it's an awesome thing. Evidence of his goodness. We've been told that this was to be a hope and healing house. That this is a transformation center, that people will see a model here and have hope that they can have their cities transformed. It's a heavy responsibility, but what an awesome opportunity. And yet, like I said last week, we are so, I don't have the right word, we're responsible for this precious thing that God's doing. It's like we dare not touch it. We dare not get our hands on it and try to control it, you know? I've seen so many Christian movements like that, where God begins to move and they get to thinking it's about them. That they're the big stuff, and then they mess it up. I don't want to mess it up. What I want to do is follow the commands of God and keep moving with the cloud. How about you? That's what I want to do. So let me challenge you this morning. Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. Are you going to follow his commands or not? You know, the same God who wrote the story about the pillar of fire and cloud stuff wrote what I'm about to read you. He says, 10% off the top of your increase belongs to God. It's called the tithe. You know, it's so funny. This happened last week in second service. Because we did offering at the end last week, as soon as I started talking about money, all the oxygen left the room. I could feel it. Why do we get so weird when it comes to money? What is that about? That's why Jesus had to talk about money more than heaven or hell. It's a big deal. Can I say this? It's an idol. No coincidence they made a golden calf. You know, it's like, it becomes that way for us. The Bible says this, and yet we push back. Well, pushing back got Israel in the wilderness for 40 years because of fear, right? Why wouldn't we tithe? Exactly. Why else wouldn't you? Because we're afraid. So, can I get 100 with you today? Okay, going to go Pastor Ray 100 on you today, okay? I never do this. I don't like to do this, but I think it's important. You know, if you have a goal in life, don't you think it's wise to kind of measure how you're doing against the goal once in a while? Otherwise, why do you have the goal, right? So we have records. We know kind of what's going on around here. So we measure how good are we doing. Last time I did this was years ago. And this is interesting, 2017. Attendance figures. If you're new to Restoration, just get a Coke and sit back and enjoy the show, because this had nothing to do with you. But 166 people per week, it was the average Restoration attendance. So this is another thing that I think is good. If you're new, we're not embarrassed or hiding anything, all right? Which we're pretty transparent with what goes on around here. 166 people a week was our average attendance in 2017. Average giving per week in that same year, $6,338.82. That's combined. That's everybody from the kids upstairs, everybody what they put in the pool, okay? $6,338.82 per week from 166 people, which averages $38.18 per week for the average gift. Or if you take that by 52 weeks, assuming everybody came every week and gave the same amount, then the end result would be, and don't check my math on this, $1,985.36. Everybody say, yay, he figured it out. So that's how much each person gave in the year on average in 2017. Now, out of curiosity, I looked to see if that represented a tithe. Tithe is how much? 10%. So then if you move the decimal point one position to the right, you should see how much that annual income was, correct? So $19,853.60 would be what that average income would be for the people that gave. Are you with me? And then I thought, well, I wonder what the U.S. poverty rate is in the U.S., per household, for a family of three, it's $20,420, which means Restoration families are giving below the poverty level, okay? So that was average. Let's get specific. Let's find out. So in 2017, there were 169 different giving units, accounting terms, people who gave. 169 families or individuals gave something in 2017, say thank God for 169 people. That's a good thing. We always have to give good news wherever we can, right? If you go back and use that same $20,420 as the poverty level, that means that 46 of those 169 gave above the poverty line based on the tithe, and 123 gave below the poverty line, which means that 73% of the givers at Restoration live below the poverty line, if we take the average as true. Now, obviously, there's some people that gave way above, but you get what I'm doing here. On average, 73% of our families live at or below the poverty line. So I thought, well, I wonder what Buchanan County looks like. How do we stack up on average? Buchanan County poverty line, 17.3% of the families in Buchanan County live at or below the poverty line. So we don't stack up real good. Are you hearing me? Now let me give you some good news. I don't believe that 73% of Restoration families live at or below the poverty line. That is good news. All right? That would give me some good news, Lord. Good news, good news, good news. So that's 27% that tithed, right? So the national average of churches that tithe is between 10 and 12%. So we double the national average. Not even a golf clap. I mean, come on, right? It's like, seriously. Let me read exactly what the Lord says in Malachi 3. I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you, descendants of Jacob, are not already destroyed. Thank you, Jesus. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now, listen to the voice of your father, the same one who wants to pour out on you abundant rain. Remember him? Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? 73%. Should people cheat God? Yeah, you've cheated me. But you ask, whatever do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. Remember the brothers and the others. Remember? That's what this is about. But I will pour out on you a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Whoa, God's going Navy SEAL on us here. Test me. Come on. Bring it. I love it. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. So you put this in your terms. Whatever you do, you're not a farmer, but whatever you do, he's given you an example. Your grapes will not fall far from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then all nations, come on, think about Restoration House here. All nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord, but you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You've said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of Heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will just call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Blah, blah, blah. Life goes on. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. Come on. That's Restoration Church. Those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. Like he listened to those murmurings, he also listens to this. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. You know what? There's my statement of mission for this church. Those who fear him and always think about the honor of his name. Wouldn't that be a great mission statement? Those who fear the Lord and always think about the honor of his name and nothing else. We could get a lot done that way. Then they will be my people, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Restoration Church needs to be an example in this city of what happens when you serve the Lord. That there is a God in heaven who is alive and moves and has their best interest at heart. We should be an example of that. We should be having people say, what the heck is going on in Restoration Church? I want to beat the 17.3% poverty level in this church. I want there to be nobody living in poverty here. Like in the book of Acts, they had no needy person among them. God supplied their need because they were obedient to his word. Are you hearing me today? See, you're getting really quiet. I do not like talking about this stuff. I do not. Because I feel the pushback. I mean, you should feel it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I got to go, whoa. The wind tunnel, right? But listen, here's what I know about y'all. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. It's not easy to do this. I'm not saying it's easy. But what did God say he was looking for from his people who left Egypt? A people ready for battle. This is a fight, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the arena. And I hear heaven saying, we're just waiting for the right people. Wow. Okay, so now I got to tell you this story. Wow. I didn't think about this. Sometimes the Lord just connects the dots. You go, you know, a little neuron connection happens. We were standing on the stage at House of David 2 weeks ago, and Rabbi and Christy, live in front of all the people watching in the house and online, said, when we heard you and Krista's story of the persecution you endured, one of the worst stories we've ever heard, we looked at each other and said, could they be the ones? My socks melted to my ankles. That's like, you know, persecution sucks. I just want to say that. But what will you do? Will you allow the Lord through persecution to bless you and then to bring increase to you? But the next step is so critical. What will you do with the increase? Will you fall back into complacency, which is the norm? And the move of God goes, pfft. Or will you invite greater increase into your life? The answer depends on what you do with the commands of the Lord. I'm going to read you something that I mean, you know, when I'm preparing messages, sometimes the Lord just does this, and I just kind of, you know, I call it the download, right? I just start getting the download, and I just do this. So I have nothing to do with the following words. I just typed them. But I can read them to you better than I can speak them, okay? So I just want you to maybe close your eyes would be a good thing, you know, just to kind of focus. I believe the Lord would say, I'm issuing a challenge today to the people of Restoration. The Lord has more, much, much more that he longs to do. We've seen him move. We've received his promise of protection, direction, and provision. We want to be people of his presence. But before we can move forward, the Lord wants our hearts. And our hearts are directly revealed by if he has our finances, if we're willing to obey his commands. Not because he needs your money. This is not a message about money. This is a message about presence. The presence of God in the midst of a people whose hearts are wholly his. Will we follow the crowd or will we follow the cloud? This is what the Lord is wanting to find out. You'll have to decide for yourself. What kept the children of Israel out of the promised land in the first place? Fear. The 12 spies came back. All but two had a good report, Joshua and Caleb. Everyone said, it's a good land, but there's giants. We are not able to go up against them. Only Joshua and Caleb, men of a different spirit, said, we are well able. Unfortunately, the crowd went with the majority and had to wander in a wilderness for 40 years and die there. But Joshua and Caleb, men of a different spirit, got to cross over. And today, God is looking for men and women of a different spirit who will not serve the idols of Egypt, who will say, my God is able to provide all my needs. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Those men and women, get ready for the windows of heaven to open. You're about to experience the move of God that your hearts have longed for, but you will not be merely a spectator, but the move of God will come through you as your house becomes a model of transformation that draws others into the kingdom. If you're in agreement, say amen. Stand to your feet and let's just applaud heaven for what he is saying to us today. Come on. This is encouragement from heaven for us today. I love it. You know, it's like if it were easy, everybody would be doing it, right? I mean, trust me, Chris and I have been in ministry our entire almost 30 years of married life. We haven't had a pay increase for 9 years or something. I don't know what it is. But last year we gave more than we ever had before because we understand the principle is real. God wants to move forward with us. And you're not going to suffer because of it. If you're willing to obey his command, we just get to choose. Do we move on or do we wander? Today, I because he said he has a scroll of remembrance for those who want to serve the Lord, I kind of made one up for us today. And it's really super simple. It just says this, we're not following the crowd. We're following the cloud. Count me in. No more wandering in the wilderness. It's time to move forward. By God's grace and with his help, I commit to tithe in 2018. I'm not going to go to your employer and find out what y'all make. Not doing that, all right? That's up to you and God. And can I say this too? You might even do this and say, okay, and then 2 months later, oh, it's too hard. I was going to say, then don't even do it. I know that might be too strong. I'm just saying, it's a battle. If you're going to turn back at the first sign of resistance, give into fear. That's why God had to take the children of Israel the long way around, because he said, what? At the first sign of battle, they'll want to go back to Egypt. See, we don't want to be those people. I don't want to wander 40 years. I don't have 40 years, okay? I'm going to be a really old guy then, okay? And I plan to stick around for a little bit longer, but, you know, I've still got work to do. And I've got bigger dreams that I've yet to see fulfilled. I hope you do too. You know, I told the first service, and this is really my heart, is why this is so important to me is because of the call that's on this house that one or two people can't accomplish. It's got to be the people of God. I want 2.4 million to cross into the promised land. Not two. That's gross to me. I want us all to go. I know for me, I know what my call is. I know. It's like, I'm 57 years old. I know this body doesn't look it. But I, you know, just saying, my call as an older dude is to be a spiritual father. And I want to bring my sons and daughters with me into the promised land. This morning, somebody gave me this, and I wish she would have got up and presented it at this moment, because it would have been perfect. So instead, I'll do it. One of our ladies did this weeks ago, I don't know, and she gave me this painting or this drawing today. It says, the house of the Father's love, Malachi 4:6, which says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's a mandate on this house. It's a mandate on my life. And so as much as I don't like messages like this, I'd much rather just be up here and make you laugh and encourage you. I want you to grow personally as much as I want this house to fulfill the mandate we have. You know that there are many sons and daughters today that don't know how loved they are. They need to hear stories like David's. They need to see households and families that are blessed so they can say, how do you do that, Lippincott's? How did you do that? And you get to testify of the goodness of God. No one can argue with your testimony because it happened to you. That's why, to me, this is important today. So Randy's going to have these at the back. And I encourage you to take one. You can fill it out today and turn it in if you want to. Or you can take it home and pray about it. I'm so honored. I said, I don't know why you have to pray about something God's already said to do. But if you got to pray, I'm not against prayer. Go for it. Knock yourself out. but, you know, this is even something that the world is looking at us. Remember that model of transformation that we talked about? There are people that, before they invest in this work, want to know, are the people in it? Or is it just your pizza dream? You know what I mean? I mean, 22 people stepped up when we got the loan to buy these buildings, and I appreciate that. But it's going to take all of us to move into the promised land. And it's just a piece of paper, but it says something. And I just want you to know that God's listening. And he's going to honor those whose hearts are wholly his. I just want to pray for you this morning. Won't you close your eyes? Jesus, I just want to thank you for being so good to us. You've been so good. Lord, we sang it earlier. You have been so, so good to me. Your reckless love. Thank you that you're not afraid of that word reckless. There's always risk involved. We were the riskiest bet you ever made. And yet you didn't just give us 10% of you. You gave us all, Lord. You gave your best to us when you sent your son, Jesus. I just say, God, you know, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just saying, God, would you forgive us for fussing over 10%? It's like, no wonder the church in America is so anemic when we struggle with 10%. I say, I'm sorry. You put up with your people in the wilderness for 40 years, murmuring and complaining, and you still led them with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, and you rained down Doritos every day. It's like, you're awesome. But what could you do with the people who are willing to not wrestle with you over 10%? I'd like to find out. I'd like to be the people that others talk about and say, my gosh, what is going on at Restoration Church? People are getting healed, set free from addictions, generations of poverty falling off. How did that happen? And we can say, nothing about us. We're just following the cloud. Hallelujah. We're just following the cloud. God, may that be said of us, people of the cloud. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person. We hope to see you soon.
Take your rightful place.